Hey, I read something today. The Cruise Victims Association reports that 165 people have disappeared while at sea since 1995.
Wow. You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Okay, there's a reason right there never to take a cruise, okay? Just the fact that there is a Cruise Victims Association. Okay, that should be a red flag right there.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've talked about this. And how long have they've been doing these cruise ships for, like, I assume decades, right? Like, I don't know when they first started doing this, but at least in the 70s, when did they really become popular?
Well, I would say maybe the 70s they started to come out. Carnival came out with, like, one ship, and then Royal Caribbean came in. It's a relatively recent phenomenon. But now what they're doing is originally they took some, I want to call them freighters, but limited ships.
Yeah.
Made them cruise ships, worked them over. Now they're building these ships that hold 8,000 people. My God.
Yeah, these are like super mega ships. I've seen them. Yeah. They're insane, you know.
And we have some maritime experts say those things could tip over because they're top heavy.
Yeah,
And something else people don't realize, there's only enough lifeboats on a cruise ship for 75% of the people. That's the same as it was on the Titanic. There aren't enough lifeboats to carry everybody on that ship.
I just don't even want to imagine the panic on a 8,000-person cruise ship.
3,000 or 4,000. We have a family that was on the Costa Concordia. They're one of the last families off. The ship tilted, so half the lifeboats, they couldn't even work. And people don't realize that. You're on the sea.
Yeah.
And you're the captain. If you're a captain of an airline and you're caught drinking, they'll throw you in jail and take away your license.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you're on a cruise ship, the Costa Concordia, this guy had a girlfriend partying it up on the cruise ship. He wasn't even on the deck. Now, he finally got put in jail for a period of time.
Yeah.
But he, you go to the dinner and you meet the guests and you have drinks with the guests and all that. Well, the captain of a cruise ship better have a clear head when they hit that rock or whatever happens.
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah. It's pretty, there's this sort of like party atmosphere, I imagine, that's like
sure.
Pervasive of these things. And even the captain is like... I can only imagine the sort of ego it takes to be a cruise ship captain anyway. You're probably kind of like characters.
I'm not going to comment on that. But they're eating with the guests. They're drinking with the guests.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
apparently on the Costa Concordia, when they finally got to the main deck or where they control the ship, they weren't even speaking the same language, the people. They were driving the ship. And the captain... claims he accidentally fell off. One of the first people to get off that ship was the captain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he says, well, he fell off the ship when it tilted.
Oh, God. That's ridiculous. Isn't the captain supposed to stay with the ship till the end? Isn't that, like, maritime lore?
In fact, they told him, the Coast Guard called him from Italy. He said, get back on that ship.
Yeah. If anything, he should have, yeah. He's been the one guy trying to get on the ship. Yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't, you know.
My God. That
so
sounds, yeah, that's
a
whole thing.
He fell off the ship, quote, into a lifeboat.
Well, geez, he's the only one with any luck, I guess.
I guess so. You
know. Oh, my God.
But if you're on let's say you're a crew member on a ship, and you got all these different languages, they don't speak the language. Hey, man, he's on for himself. You know.
Oh, God, in that situation, I'm sure it was, yeah. Yeah, well, you touched on another troubling aspect we've talked about on the show in the past, and that's sort of like this underground world of people that work on the ships, that it's a whole, like, little society of sort of, like, people have checked out of, you know, and God bless them if they're sort of adventurous and they're doing that for kicks and they're going to go work as a chef on a cruise ship. You know, God bless them if that's their thing. But there's also people that are working on cruise ships that are, like, on the run, I assume, intentions.
Yeah, they're on third world countries, a lot of them. And if a crime happens, the cruise ship gets them off the ship and sends them back to wherever they're from.
Yeah. Because how big are some of the staffs on these ships?
Oh, if you got, let's say, 8,000, ship with 8,000, you probably got 6,000 passengers, 2,000 crew members.
2,000 crew members, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them are making minimum wage, 7 days a week they're working.
And somebody, and like somebody pointed out in the chat here, just to sort of talk about, not necessarily regulations or anything like that, but it's maybe something worth thinking about to folks, to sort of use Kendall's example that he's used in the past. So say you get on a plane, the they're not called stewardesses, the flight attendants, you know, they're all checked out by the airline. They're not just some people that, you know, showed up and answered a Craigslist ad. They're trying to really they're screened. And
yeah.
And the people on a cruise ship, I guess to the point that somebody in the chat room made, correct me if I'm wrong, Kendall, but it's like I presume that they're not being subjected to like rigorous background.
No,
checks.
I mean there are hiring companies in Indonesia and India, and they hire these people. And then, quote, in theory, they do a background check. You can't do a background check in somebody out of a third world country. And they're getting a fee for that. And that's the way they're staffing those ships.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I said correct me if I'm wrong. Because I'm sure if you went to Carnival and were like, ask them, that they would say that there are background checks. But I'm willing to bet that, like, these are the background check is like, what's your address?
Yeah, right. And a lot of times if they commit a crime and they get them off the ship, the guy just goes to work for another cruise line. No, they go from cruise line to cruise line because they say, well, we don't want to make the information public because that'll discriminate against the person. My God, he just did a crime. He should never get on a ship as a crew member. And yet that is very common in the occurrence of it.
Right, right. I mean, this would be like, in order to implement this kind of thing, you would need, I mean, there, in theory, you'd want them to, like, do a background check on the people that work on cruise ships, but it's like, it sounds like they really don't.
Well, not a background check that's meaningful.
Right, right.
Now, you could compensate for that if you had legitimate, independent police officers on those ships.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah,
you could compensate for that somewhat.
Right.
But, you know, a guy lives in a little bunk and he works 7 days a week and he's from a third world country and he's sending the money to his family or relatives in India or wherever. I mean, he's just getting by.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In fact, but just getting back to our daughter's case.
Yeah.
She went missing. And it took us 3 weeks for the police to trace her to the cruise ship. And the cruise ship came back a couple of days and said, oh, she was on the ship, but we don't know if she got off or not. And that was it. They said, well, the Cambridge police had reported to the Vancouver police as a crime. They didn't do that. They didn't report it to the Vancouver police. Well, moving the story forward.
Now, this is, hold on now. I just want to stop you. This is Vancouver, Canada, because that's probably where the ship came out of, right?
Oh, it went to. That was
it was on its way to Vancouver.
Yeah, it was a Canadian cruise.
Okay.
You know, it starts in Seattle. And they have to stop at a foreign port.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we ended up hiring. We decided we want to talk to somebody on that ship that saw our daughter. Well, clearly the steward saw her daughter because he had the room. So $75,000 was spent on two law firms, an international detective agency, just to get to that steward after 4 months to do a deposition to find out he'd reported her missing daily after the second day. They told him, forget it. Do your job. And when the ship got to Vancouver, he says, what do I do with this stuff in the room? They said, just put it in a bag and throw it. And they threw it away.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's horrendous. But the only honest person in the whole thing was the steward. But to get to that guy, and most people just would never do it, cost $75,000 to talk to somebody on that ship that knew her, that saw her.
Now, how was that, like, what was the, why did it cost that much? Because, like, they were fighting to keep you from being to talk to him or something?
No,
or you just couldn't find him?
Once we found out she was missing, we got and we decided we wanted to talk to somebody on the ship. I talked to Royal Caribbean a couple of times. I couldn't get any place. So we got an international detective agency. They talked to him. Went months. They just wanted to interview this guy. Couldn't do it. So we had to get a court order in Massachusetts with the law firm that was doing a lot of work in Massachusetts. Then we had to hire another law firm in Miami Beach. It cost us $10,000 to hire the second law firm just to get a deposition. So by the time you take the fees of two law firms, a private detective, all of a sudden you're up to big money. Most people just would never do that.
Right, exactly.
You know, that was the unique thing about Marion's case. Most of these people disappear, and people just don't have the money to really find out what really happened.
Yeah, and then they're haunted by it forever. Now, what I'm trying to recall from our conversations, but I guess, how did the case with your daughter ultimately conclude?
Well,
or did it? I mean,
No, it never did.
This is the ongoing. This is the ICV. This is, you know what I mean? Is that kind of the story?
Yeah, I made a decision. Now, some people have made other decisions that have lost a son or daughter, that they focused for 10 years on finding the person that did the crime.
Mm-hmm.
I made a decision about 15 months into it. I mean, we went down every alley. We could still be pursuing things.
Right, right.
But I just had to release it and say, hey, and then...
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Christopher Shea held the first hearing where I concluded, hey, there's a problem with this industry. So four little families got together and started ICV that's now in 34 countries in the world.
I see. No. I get what you're saying, yeah. Because it was like you could try and pursue solving this singular cold case, which means the world to you because it was your daughter, but it's like at the end of the day, that passion and energy would be better spent changing this so other people don't have to experience it.
Well, in my case, that was the case.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, I have the highest respect in the world for you, Kendall. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I didn't have the energy.
Yeah.
You work on... this thing for months, and it just, every time you open the door, you open another door. And it just went on and on. Finally, I said, hey, I just, you know, the cruise line is going to do everything they can to prevent us from finding the information. They should have told us immediately that our daughter was missing. They chose to cover it up.
Yeah.
That was their decision. And hopefully the laws are such now they wouldn't do that. But they took the path, we're going to cover it up. And then I read it in the book. So that's the standard operating procedure. If they can cover it up, they'll cover it up because they don't want the legal liability.
Yeah.
And in the video, we asked, what's her video? If there was a video and it showed our daughter going overboard, hey, that's it. That's the end of the story. But they said there was no video. We'd already erased it 3 weeks into it. 3 years later, I found they did have a video. They kept for months and reviewed it. Then they got rid of it. Now, you know, if you could see the actual event happening, then you say, well, gee, that's sad. God, she jumped overboard or whatever, or was pushed overboard or whatever.
Yeah.
But they chose to tell us that. They said there was no video. It was already erased, and that turned out to be a lie. You know, that's just an incredible way to operate a business.
Yeah, dude. It's just cold, man. It's heartless. It's just heartless.
It's not like we're looking for a piece of luggage.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's my bag? We're looking for a daughter.
And it's scary in a sense because it's like you really wonder, like, where in the – Where do we go wrong as people? Where did that industry go wrong? I guess in a sense, where it's like somewhere in the chain of command, someone was like, no, no, we can't, you know, we can't do the obviously right thing here, you know, in the name of what, like not having bad publicity or something. It's like, come on, guys, for real? This is sick.
Yeah, well, they want to portray it. And people see the ads today. Oh, this is just a nice, relaxing vacation. Just get on the boat and lay in the sun. You know, but it's there are risks involved.
Absolutely.
And people are injured. People die. And they fail to take the action they could take to minimize it. You can never eliminate everything, but you can minimize it.
Just do their due diligence, their responsibility.
Yeah, one other thing, Tim, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but on the 16th of January, 2005, and we had the depositions for 2 days, and I realized that they'd been lying to us from the beginning.
Yeah.
And we were dealing with a cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I did?
What?
I wrote the board of directors a multi-page letter.
The board of directors of the cruise company?
Of Royal Caribbean.
Okay.
And said, help. We need your help. And also wrote the chairman of Royal Caribbean. Now, I had a case many years ago, a daughter in the hospital that was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting over the hospital. I called a member of the board, and, man, things happened. They
right, exactly.
Action.
Yeah.
Here, it was like throwing it in the trash can. They should have taken action. Say, hey, we can't operate a business this way. We're ethics. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
That's one of the issues we're dealing with today is ethics. My God.
Yeah, human decency, man. Like I said, it's like at some point, where in the chain of command was it like, no, we're covering, don't give this guy the video. It's like, come on, man. Like, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah, well, I mean, the board of directors, with their fiduciary responsibility, should have taken action. Now, in the other example I gave, they took immediate action.
Right.
And I went to a guy who was on the board, who was president of a well-known corporation. I called him. I got right through to him, told him the story, and, man, things were resolved.
Yeah.
And here, things weren't resolved. It's business as usual. And we had meetings with the cruise lines. We had, I don't know, three or four meetings in Miami, and they said, oh, we're here to help you, and we want your suggestion. It was all baloney.
Well, that brings up an interesting point that I was just thinking, in a sense, where it's like, I'm sure the guy who, or the people who covered this up are really regretting their decision, in a sense, because they unleashed hell upon the industry in the form of the ICV. So have you ever sort of like had any like pushback from the cruise industry? I mean, I can't imagine they like would threaten you or anything like that, but have you ever sort of like, I mean, what's been the interaction between you and the cruise industry? I mean, you're like public enemy number one to them, I assume.
Well, I'm not going to take a cruise. Let me phrase it that way. You know, I try
Oh, Jesus,
to,
yeah.
I try to, I don't know how to phrase it. It's a gentleman with them.
I'm
one of these top guys.
Right.
You know, and they know where I'm coming from. And, you know, I don't hound them. I mean, they clearly know what we're thinking.
Yeah.
And if they choose to do the wrong thing, then that's their decision. They got to live with that.
Yeah.
We have to live with our decision. But they've never attacked me, Tim. You know, I could easily be subject to attack for whatever reason.
Now, yeah.
Before we got into this, it went public. The law firm that I had wrote me a letter and said, oh, Ken, he said, boy, you go public. Man, you got to get a separate lawyer to make sure you don't say something, somebody will sue you.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, when you said
that. Yeah, and I said to myself, hey, I'm only going to say the truth.
Well, there you go, yeah. Yeah.
If you want to sue me over the truth, be my guest. And went forward. But the law firm wrote me this letter, said, oh, you better get a separate lawyer, because if you say the wrong thing in public, they'll come after you. Well, they've never come after me, Tim. I think in a way, Tim, I maybe I'm probably wrong. I think they respect me.
Well, they should, man. I have the world. I have a world respect for you. I think.
Well,
that,
and
you know,
the members of ICV.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I put you over all the time, and obviously the group is like, you know, that's going to go on after you're gone, after I'm gone, you know,
yeah.
and you know, and try and make changes. I mean, in a sense, I hope, you know, I hope that someday the ICV is sort of like a small operation in a sense where, like, there's not as many problems. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
well,
like, that's what I hope.
We're just trying to get enforced the things that we passed.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know, and we've hit every wall we could hit in getting these things enforced. But we ain't backing away from it.
And no, you can't, man.
This press release today was gigantic to have this International Standards Board come up with the standards for man-overboard system. There's no excuse now. And companies already can meet those standards.
Now, you say this is sort of like a let's put it into action kind of thing, though, now. You say, like, that there's no excuse for them not to do it. Now, who is going to – I guess your organization can make noise about it.
The Coast Guard. There's a fine in the bill.
Ah, okay.
For not doing this.
But why? So they just didn't do it because there was no set standard yet?
They used we don't know if it's 100% effective and what the standards are and all that. Well, there are companies that had workable systems, clearly. But they used that as an excuse.
Yeah.
And just not to do it.
I guess the point I'm trying to make now is, like, is someone, now that this international standard has been produced, who is going to go to the cruise ships now and be like, all right, now you have to enforce it?
Well,
ostensibly, presumably, who were we talking about that would do
the
that?
The Coast Guard.
Will they?
Well, they're supposed to.
Okay.
That's their obligation to enforce these laws. And so we keep trying to work with them. But they're clearly have not, you know, people, you know, we passed this law. We go to Washington. We meet with the FBI. I've met with the FBI several times, and our members, and the Coast Guard. And, boy, the first few meetings with the FBI is like, who are these people? It's like a group of students from Florida going to Washington.
Yeah.
And they kind of give them courtesy of a meeting, but then turn it off as they walk out the door. That's the way it was.
Yeah.
And there's been a woman at the Coast Guard who has really stood up for what we're doing, and has made a lot of these things happen. And we need those people. So,
Now, you talked about Rockefeller. What are there any other, like, champions for this cause in Congress? Because I would think that, like, I mean, I'm sort of cynical in a sense. I was going to say, I would think that, like, there would be politicians down in Florida who would sort of be on your side with this, but they're the probably ones that are deepest in bed with the cruise industry.
Yeah, absolutely. forget the congressional people from Florida.
Yeah, as soon as I thought that, then I was like, well, wait a minute, that means they're probably on the take from the, you know, or they get donations from, excuse me,
yeah,
from these.
Well, the cruise lines are based there. And,
right.
You know,
so jobs and all that, yeah.
So anyway, I mean, Senator Blumenthal has really picked it up after Rockefeller.
Yeah.
He has really been extremely helpful. Mackey in Massachusetts has been helpful. Doris Matsui, who is in the House of Representatives, she has been extremely helpful.
Yeah.
Representative Poe is a Republican. He's been extremely helpful. And we need those people. But what we need is a more balanced Congress. That's, I don't know how to phrase it other than that.
We just need them to get along and pass some, like, obvious stuff that, they should be passing the obvious stuff first and worry about this big stuff they can't agree on later. But it's like they can't seem to get past that.
Yeah, so anyway. But, I mean, that's the way the system works. So you got to work the system and stay with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only alternative, or just give up.
Is there anything you can do, like, on a state level, or is it all sort of like all just a national issue, in a sense?
I didn't understand the question.
Are there, like, could you work with any sort of, like, state legislatures to change any laws?
Well, the answer is we just about passed a law in California.
Yeah.
came very close. We got through the Senate, got through the House, until one committee, and the cruise lines got three guys not to vote. And the committee was the state of California wanted to put somebody on those cruise ships when it came into their water.
Yeah.
And so the answer is yes, California has been an exception, and we hope to do more with that. But our resources are limited.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. It's like, what exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, there's only so many things you can do, but that is on the agenda.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, just if you could do like an end run around the gridlock and on a national level and try and make some kind of change on the...
But we're chipping away, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, you guys are doing absolutely incredible work. As I said at the beginning of the show, it's like, I mean, I joked last time we talked, you know, I interview a lot of kooky folks on here and stuff, but the stuff you're doing is serious and important and you know, could save and almost certainly will save lives.
Well,
so.
And your show brings that awareness to people, Tim.
I like to think so, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when I told people you were coming back on, they were all excited and posting that, that you know, that they remember the interview. That doesn't happen with, like, every guest we have.
That's amazing.
It struck a chord.
Yeah,
with the listeners.
Well, that's good, and that says every little drop makes a difference.
Absolutely.
And your show that we did that put us on Coast to Coast, I hadn't even heard of Coast to Coast Radio until I did that interview. We've ended up doing two, and my goodness, they're on 550 stations around the country.
Yeah, I was happy to get you out there, man. When I first heard. When I first did that conversation with you, I was like, I was telling everybody I knew. I mean, I still do. Like I said, I still tell people, like, you would not believe what's going on in the cruise industry. You gotta check out this guy, Kendall Carver, and International Cruise Victims. It's absolutely stunning.
It's the work of the, it's, I couldn't do it on my own, believe me.
Have you done any? I saw on the thing that you, something about Dr. Oz on the on the web thing. What's going on with that? Did they talk about the issue on Dr. Oz or something?
Yeah. They did a whole segment on international. They had a billboard in the back that showed all the pictures of all the victims.
Oh wow! So you did like? Were you on Dr. Oz?
No, I wasn't on it. We had four of our victims.
Okay.
Were on the Dr. Oz show. Or five, maybe five.
Yeah.
And I want to get other people in front of the camera.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And do interviews, I don't, you know. but that was...
You'll do Banal of America, but you're not going to do Dr. Oz, right?
Well, I'll do whatever I have to do. But I'm getting older, Tim. I can't do this forever.
I understand, yeah.
I can do it as long as I can do it. But fortunately, I guess one of my goals is to get... people involved who are involved that carry the ball.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, an organization as good as not me, but of the people that are made up of it. And I tell you, Tim, you get a group of victims organized, and, man, you got a force that you can't turn back. I say that to any group, and it's like these students. You get a group of victims organized. It's a powerful voice to move things forward.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, like you said, I mean, it's no one's really, you know, no one's crazy enough or sick enough or you know, awful enough to like attack victims of cruise ship crimes. You know what I mean? Which makes the whole issue, you know, it goes back to sort of that maddening aspect of it, where it's like these should be no-brainer solutions, and you know.
I'm surprised that you call and we're doing a show, but in January we did, several different shows. I did two shows out of Miami on NBC in January. We keep getting those calls to move things forward, and that makes the difference. If they forgot about ICV, nobody would hear us. You know, we'd be off the radar. But, you know, as I say, January I had two interviews with NBC in Miami, and this interview, and hopefully it'll lead to other interviews. And it does lead to other interviews. Because we have, if a reporter calls, Tim, we have the data they want to hear.
Yeah.
About the crimes and all of these things. And never do they come up with a negative story when you get done.
Yeah,
exactly. They can't.
Yeah, yeah, no. And like you said, you're only going to tell the truth and share the facts with people and stuff. So.
Yeah, and they can go to our website and look it up.
Now, it's imperative, I think, that we cover this in a sense. And, I mean, we did this on the last show, but I think it's imperative that we do it again, you know, here on this show, where it's just like, okay, for people who are listening, because, you know, there are people listening now that haven't heard our other shows, and they're not going to go back and listen to them, or maybe they will, but at the risk that they don't, what should someone do if they're going to go on a trip? If they're crazy enough, after listening to us for the last 90 minutes talk about this nightmare of a situation, if they're still, you know, foolhardy enough to go on one of these cruises, what should they do? What should,
well,
you know, what
let,
is
let,
the,
let,
what,
let,
what's
let
the thing?
Divide it into two categories, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
The cruise ships that are out of Los Angeles, New York, Miami, 3 or 4 day party cruises are the most dangerous.
Ah.
I mean, that is where the crimes really jump up. And they're cheap, they're inexpensive, but that's where the issues really come up.
Okay.
The older cruises have less crime.
What do you mean, the older cruises?
Well, all retired people. That's not saying they don't have crimes.
Right, right, right.
But
how do you know that? Is that like an 8 day? I mean, how do you know it's all retired people?
From statistics that have been developed.
Okay.
We're able to determine if it's, you know, I live with older people. You know, they're not out doing wild things.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. I'm just saying, like, okay, let's say I'm going to go book this cruise. Like, how would I know which?
Well, you, number one, you can go to Department of Transportation Cruise Line Crimes.
Okay.
And the chances are you'll find the major cruise lines.
And you'll be able to figure out sort of which one is
the
safest.
In other words, they'll show Carnival.
Yeah.
And Royal Caribbean. And all the various ones, and they'll show, and you really got to take it not just one quarter, but go back over a year or a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see the differences in the crime level. And as was done in that article that you quoted earlier in the show, that actually was also in the USA Today. It started on Arizona Republic and then USA.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought it looked like that.
Yeah, picked it up. But that's one place to start. Secondly, they got to realize that when they go on a cruise ship, they're going to an island that has no police and unlimited drinks.
Right.
Now, what would you expect in an island that has unlimited drinks and no police?
Mayhem.
Well, depending on the nature of the group, yes. And that's exactly what happened this week on that ship in Australia. 10-day cruise.
Right.
Thing went bananas. And you know, people lock themselves in the room to protect themselves. My goodness, that's about as bad as it gets, you know.
Yeah.
And we realize, even today, even though we're getting better crime report, we're not getting all the crimes. But to think that you're realize you go on a cruise, and you take your fine jewelry, unless you can prove it's worth more than $10,000, you can't even file a claim. So if you're a robber, boy, go to a cruise ship and take things, knowing that if it's under $10,000, nothing's going to happen. You know, that's pretty wide open. I mean, that's like going to a city, saying, hey, gee, I can rob people here, and if under $10,000, which most of it probably is, nobody's going to do anything.
Right, right, right.
I mean, that's kind of incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't even know how. I mean, I would be in no position to be on a boat and lose $10,000. Believe me, Kendall. I couldn't lose $10,000 here on the land because I don't got it.
Yeah, right. Well, but people take, you know, older people take the finest jewelry.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, to show off to the captain or whoever. And that stuff is vulnerable. I mean, there's all kinds of crimes.
Oh, that's
there's
true. Robbery. Like, yeah, like jewelry and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's robberies, there's rapes, people get sick. An older person gets sick. man, they're a risk on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that. And, you know, there's just all kinds of risks they're subject to. Now, if they say, okay, I understand all these risks, I'm going to do it anyway, God bless them.
Right, right.
You know, we're not going to put the cruise lines out of business.
I think it's key, like, that, you know, other things, like people should be, you should never be alone on a cruise ship.
A woman that's alone on a cruise ship is a target.
Yeah.
A target for whoever. Could be a crew member. Well, so many of these crimes are done by crew members. And, but a single woman on a cruise ship is a target. Now, was my daughter single on a cruise ship? I don't know. I don't know if she's with somebody or not.
Right. Who knows? We don't, yeah.
I don't know. You know, but you are a target, because if you take 8,000 people, you're going to have some criminals in part of that group, and nobody's going through a screening process to eliminate the crimes or the people that do the crimes. That's just part of it. It's a city.
That's true. I never thought of that, but like, yeah, like. You know that thing like where like registered sex offenders have to like go around and tell people that you know that they were convicted of the crime or whatever. It's like,
yeah.
I assume they don't have to do that on a cruise ship.
No, but
so you know, I mean, that's
if they commit the crime. That's what I was talking about earlier on minors, and the person doesn't get convicted that did the crime because they're labeled a sex offender the rest of their life.
Yeah.
You know, people don't know that these people are sex offenders. There's all kinds of sexual crimes, as we're reading in the paper today, more than I want to see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I just mean like there's no, you know, anybody can buy a ticket on a cruise ship, folks. It's
yeah,
like,
pretty much.
You know, I mean, I don't know if I think, I'm not like necessarily saying like I don't want to infringe on people's rights, I guess, in a sense, but it's like you need to be aware of that, folks, that like there's no... You know, there's just no. It's the Wild West out there.
Yeah, well, you're operating with limited rights. Our bill has given people rights, but they got to know that they do have the rights, and they should exercise those rights, and they ought to be told. I think, frankly, I've tried to move this forward. I haven't yet. That before any victim on a cruise line says anything, they sign a statement saying, "I know what my rights are." And they're to, you know, call the FBI or whatever. In Arizona, if you commit a crime, the police can't interview you without your saying that kind of a statement.
Yeah.
That should apply to cruise lines.
So yeah.
Hope people become aware of it. But the cruise lines are in business. It's a way to entertain people. That's fine. But it should be safe. And when a crime occurs, action taken.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the key. You know, you're never going to stop all crime, but when it happens, appropriate action is taken. You know, if I go outside and kick somebody, the police are going to come. If a woman's
yeah.
raped and goes to the hospital, the police are going to be there.
Yeah.
There's going to be somebody there to give that person their rights.
And that's just not, yeah, that's just not the case on the cruise ships. And it's,
no.
And like we said, to sort of keep it in a sense in the vein of... you know, what people should be doing if they actually are, like I said, foolhardy enough to do one of these cruises is, you know, we stressed it earlier, but we can't stress enough. If something happens, you should contact the FBI. Like, don't rely on, you know, immediately bypass the cruise company because they're not going to help
you. And if you've
got
a major illness, going on a cruise ship, you're putting yourself at risk. Because what happens, older people get on. Who have some kind of condition, a serious condition, and they can't get the treatment on a cruise ship, and they die, and they can't take action. Nobody can. Well, the person themselves have to take some responsibility for putting themselves in that position.
Yeah.
But once they're in that position, then they're on their own, you know.
I wonder, in a sense, like, if... you know, it's just completely off sort of like topic from what your specialty is. And I don't expect you to really answer. I'm sort of musing, but it's like, It just makes me wonder about other industries and things like that, where you'd be shocked that it's similar to the cruise line industry. Like, you know, I'm thinking about like something like Disneyland or something like that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the problems that plague the cruise industry are the same with you know, giant amusement parks like that and stuff.
Well, sure. And you know, something I've just become aware of in the last year, that airlines have these crimes. Of sexual crimes. I didn't even think that was possible.
But yeah, I've heard stories like that where it's like, how did that happen on a plane? But yeah, I've heard them too, yeah.
I find that. So any time you're in a public situation like that, but if you're on a train or something like that, you're in the U.S., you can take action.
Yeah, exactly. If you're at Disneyland, you can like leave and go to the Anaheim police or whatever.
Yeah,
well, you can call them to come in, and they can get there.
Disneyland has got their reputation is at stake.
Right, exactly.
With little kids running around.
But they have cruise ships too, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And they got some of the same problems.
You wonder if that would be an angle to worth like pursuing to try and pressure. Write them a letter and be like, "Hey, man, this." I don't know if you've had any dealings with them.
We've considered that. And Disney, there's been some indication that they have added man overboard systems. I can't verify that one way or the other, but they've taken a more proactive approach. But I can't confirm that, Tim.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I tell you what, if somebody from Disney is listening right now, and that's actually possible, if whoever's in charge of the Disney cruise line, they should be listening to whatever Kendall's talking about.
The rules of the bill that we passed.
Right. If they really want to, the smart thing to do would be to get ahead of this story, guy from Disney. And if they came out tomorrow and they were like, you know, we're the safest cruise line possible. You know, we heard all these stories, and we've implemented all of the things that the International Cruise Victims Association has suggested. Then everybody else would have to follow suit if one just got on board.
No. Well, Disney, we had a case a couple years ago. A little girl got on an elevator, and the steward molested the little girl. They had it on video.
Jesus Christ.
You know, on a Disney cruise.
So I guess we're barking up the wrong tree with Disney. Because then that would immediately probably come out in the news.
I like your suggestion, and I think we need to follow up on it.
Yeah, I mean, if you pushed, what's that? What'd you say, Kendall?
I said we'll work with anybody.
Oh, yeah.
We're not.
Yeah, look at me. I'm just some miscreant. You're on. But like I said, I mean, that it's all, I feel like if you hit these people in a sort of like public relations way, it would really, you know, and I know you guys are doing yeoman's work. So I'm just sort of throwing ideas out there. Like how could we sort of move this even further? And it's like, to me, pressuring them that way.
I got to tell you about an airplane flight I made, I want to say 6 years ago or when, maybe 10 years ago, whatever. You sit next to the guy and you say, what do you do? And what do I do? And the guy worked for a company called Business Wire. Do you know what Business Wire is, Tim?
No.
Oh, I didn't know what it was.
It sounds like it's like a news, like a business news website or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Oh.
And the guy said to me, hey, Ken, he says, for free, I will send out a press release for you as your 501c3 organization.
Yeah.
Well, we did that, and we get in on important items like yesterday. We just sent a Business Wire out. It goes all around the world, telling our story. Thousands of hits on it, and we can kind of force that story out. Then a lot of times, then the goal is that newspapers pick it up, publish it. But this little thing, and it costs us a minimal amount of money to use something like Business Wire that gives us a professional press release that gets, and we get the statistics back.
Yeah.
But thousands of hits that we're able to move the story.
Right.
And if it's a major story, we know the reporters to call, you know, to get it on. You know, last year we had the Wall Street Journal. ABC. We just had a lot of them, and a lot of that was due to that those two sisters who took this thing on.
Oh, with the parents in Peru.
Yeah, and their passion, they got a lot of press.
Well, like I said, yeah, I mean, this is that's such a unique case that it's like that's what they, you know,
yeah, well,
that's what
they
the media latches onto.
In Peru on a ferry boat.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Oh, now I asked you about this way at the beginning of the show. Do you have, because it's funny, I saw the commercials for these European riverboat cruises, and I was like, okay, I know Kendall Carver, I'm well aware of the issues and everything, and like I would never, I mean, the only way I would go on one of those crazy cruises that we're talking about is like as a fact-finding mission to see for myself what this environment's like. And even then, I'd be very, very, like, scared to do it.
Yeah, well,
but I thought about it, you know.
Yeah, well, we don't want people scared. A ferry boat in Europe is not under our U.S. laws, because that boat
doesn't
leave the United States or come back to the United States. And there are things that happen on a ferry boat. The thing about a ferry boat is you're close to land all the time.
Right, right.
So that I'm going to guess, and we don't have statistics, that you might be a little safer because of your ability to get off that ship quickly. And that's speculation on my part. But they all have risk.
And you'd assume that the boats are, like, maybe they don't have the same shenanigans as here, where it's like the boat sailing down the river through Europe is not actually chartered in the Bahamas, I hope.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. So I can't judge river boats.
Okay.
Except for this one in Peru.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, it scared me.
Yeah, would that carry on further? I don't know. We just haven't had that many cases.
Right, right. We're talking about cruise ships.
Yeah, more cruise ships more than anything.
Yeah.
But everything has risks, and people have to use some judgment on their part. But you got to know when you're more at risk, and take appropriate action.
Right.
And to leave your kids on a ship on their own. And let's say they've got a program for youth. Some of those programs have been run by pedophiles because they're attracted to that clientele.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I was sort of suggesting with, like, the idea that, like, people don't have to, you know, tell these hiring companies probably about their background in a sense. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the background check thing comes back in that way.
Yeah, you come out of Indonesia, you can't check the guy's background.
There's
no FBI check. You know, and their job is to hire people and keep them coming for the cruise lines. They get a fee for that.
Right, right.
You know.
And I think it's important to say, like I said before, I mean, if somebody wants to go and be a chef on a cruise ship, it's like, more power to them. They're a good person, more power to them. It's like, you know, we talk about on the show conspiracies, and it's like we always say, you know, it's like, the government's doing this and that. It's like, we're not talking about the mailman here, folks. Like, there's a lot of fine, decent people working on cruise ships. I think it's important to say, you know what I mean? Because I can imagine somebody listening to this right now, and they're like, hey, man, I'm a chef on a cruise ship, and, you know, I'm not a dirtbag. And no, you're not, man, you know?
It's just a job. They like the job.
Right.
But there's a lot of low-paid, marginal people working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and you're not going to get the highest clientele or employee to work them 7 days a week cleaning rooms.
Out on the high seas.
On the high seas.
Right. So, yeah, that's a really...
That's not going to attract a college graduate.
Right, right. Unless they're all finding themselves for a year or something. Yeah. But otherwise, exactly, yeah. But, you know, I felt like I should say that because it's like, you know, I understand where it's like we don't want to paint people with some kind of brush that, like, you know, if you go on a cruise ship, you should look at everybody with a a worried eye. It's like,
yeah,
no.
No, well, you know, it's like any place. There's good people and bad people.
Exactly.
And you got to worry about the bad people.
Right, right. And it's, in a sense, it's like you said earlier, it's like you got 8,000 people collected on this ship. It's like, you know, it's human nature. There are some bad.
Different kind of...
What's that?
No, I mean, you got 8,000 people.
Some of them could be bad.
Some people are going to have certain traits that are not positive.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the problem here, sort of circling back to the issue at large, is that in every other place, like we said, Disneyland or on an airplane or other places, like, there are systems in place to deal with the bad people.
Yeah.
But on the cruise ships, there are no systems in place.
Yeah, well, they have security that reports to the cruise line, and the cruise line's responsible, legally responsible, when these crimes happen. That's why they want to minimize them.
Right, right. That's the ostensible system in place.
Right.
But as we've discussed over the course of this show, you know, the system is broken, folks, you know, in a big way.
Well, it needs further correction, I'll phrase it that way.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, we keep plugging away, Tim.
Well, like I said, Kendall, you're doing amazing work, and I can't put you over enough. And the ICV, of course, you know, it's an amazing team. I hope to sort of get to know some of these other folks, in future years.
And to hear their stories.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. I mean, we talked about this off the air, where it's like, among the many post-BOA audio projects I want to do is something with the ICV, because I think this topic is so ripe for exploration, and, stories
I would encourage it, Tim.
Shocking.
I mean, you've heard my story, but I'm just one of hundreds.
Exactly, yeah. And, folks, you know, everybody's kicking around these GoFundMes and things like that. Just throw some money towards the international cruise victims if you can.
I mean, whether it's $10 or $100 or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
To run an organization like this costs money. And when you're going strictly on donations, and a lot of our victims don't have a lot of money. I mean, they took a cruise ship because it was cheap.
Exactly, yeah.
And they don't have money to, you know. Fortunately, we've had enough people that have supported us to let us pay the bills and move forward, and that's been important. Like putting out a press release.
Exactly.
That's an important item, but it costs money.
Exactly. So if people can help out the ICV, I'm sure it'll be, it'll be hugely appreciated.
At the very top is a place for donations.
Yeah.
And you can use your credit card. So.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, it's like, you know, I was thinking about it as I was talking to you just now about this, and it's like, there are a million charities out there, folks, but with a lot of them, with most of them, you know, I really don't know where that money's going. And I'm sure they do good work, but it's like there's all kinds of problems with charities. We've talked to Kendall. We know what they're doing. We know they're trying to make real substantive changes to this cruise industry.
Nobody,
your money's going to be well spent. So help him out. Help them out.
Nobody gets paid anything, Tim.
There you go. Exactly. So
yeah, there are no expenses.
You know. Well, I feel passionate about this subject, Kendall. Every time I talk to you, it gets me all fired up. So,
okay, well, that's good.
We're going to
hope it fires up some of the people in your audience, Tim.
I hope so, and I think so. And for the people who hadn't heard you before, I think they should go check out the previous interviews, because we covered a lot of the same ground, but a lot of even more depth on this stuff, too. And so I hope that people check those out and check out your website, internationalcruisevictims.com. That's where they can. .org. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
internationalcruisevictims.org. And you joked about the website earlier, but I like it because it's like, there's just tons of links here for people to explore.
Well, no, that's the reason. It's so complicated. It's got so much.
Yeah.
You can't hardly replace it. You know?
Yeah, well, this is, like I said, it's an incredibly complex topic. There are so many elements to it, which I think that's another reason why I find this so fascinating. This isn't some cut and dry mystery or something. This is like, as you said, it's a phenomenon that with a lot of elements to it that each one is just absolutely jaw-dropping. So talking.
We appreciate your support, Tim.
Oh, 100%, man, 110%. You know, whatever I can do to help you guys out, you know, I'm there for you. So
good.
And thank you for you know, the many riveting conversations over the years, and I'm sure we're gonna have a lot more work to do. So I look forward to that, and thank you for being a friend of the program all these years.
Our pleasure, Tim.
All right, have a good night, Kendall.
Yep.
All right, there you go. That was Kendall Carver, internationalcruisevictims.org. As I said, I'm still fired up. I get really – this topic just is, to me, I sort of teased it tonight with Kendall, but I definitely think once we wrap up season 10 and I start putting together sort of sub projects here in the future, I think, you know, the Kendall Carver ICV story is one that I definitely want to explore in depth, because there's so, really is so much to this story. It is unbelievable. And I'm stunned that it hasn't become a national phenomenon in the spotlight, if you will, 15 minutes of fame, whatever you want to call it, in the news cycle. You know, one one Kardashian, something happens to a Kardashian on a cruise ship, this thing's going to change overnight. But I guess you could say that about a lot of this stuff we talk about on the program. With that in mind, because of the uncertainty with Kendall last week, I'm glad he's feeling better. We didn't book a guest yet for next week, so I wanted to make sure Kendall was going to be available tonight. So, but I have, it's been a struggle in a sense, folks, in a weird way, because I've been trying to figure out like how to wrap this up, and I think finally I've at least come up with sort of a way to make this work, and eventually I'll sort of explain how that all works. But it's just complicated, you know, to sort of like stick the landing on this. But I think I know what the hell I'm doing. And for the people who follow me on Twitter, like a month ago, I said I think I figured it out, and I was wrong. So so now I think the second idea here is probably how we'll wrap it up. But we'll see. It's been crazy. You know, I got blown out by that William Zabel interview and the double episode in January with Greg Bishop and the Tyler Coke John show, but doing the double one and then just threw everything out of whack, it seemed, after the holidays. And I teased this story, in a sense, on my birthday. It's a really strange sort of thing. I feel like, I don't even know. I almost don't want to talk about it, but I feel like I will. And that was, so it's like my birthday on, it was a Friday night. We were going out to eat, and I don't know about anybody else, but I'm one of these like people that gets like all existential on their birthday and is like, oh, you know, what does life mean? How far have I come? What have I accomplished? All that sort of fun, pursuit of thought. And so we're going out to go out to the car to go out to eat, and all these ambulances and cops pull up, and I'm like, oh no, what the hell's going on? And my neighbor, my dear elderly neighbor, who's like 80 something years old, they whisked her off to the hospital, and she died of the flu. And I've known her my whole life. Well, I knew her my whole life, and it was like, whoa. So it just like threw me for like sort of a really weird existential loop. But yeah, I didn't want to like, I don't know. It was too weird and complicated to like mention on the show. I mean, on the Facebook page when I posted something about it on my birthday, because it was like people had already bombarded me with these happy birthday wishes. So if I was like, "Yeah, the strangest thing happened," you know, I was afraid that like I would be slammed with like weird condolences. But you know, rest in peace, Angie O'Keefe. She was awesome. She was a great lady, and yeah, it was just really like weird. She was super religious. It was akin in my mind to like the Pope dying. It was like, whoa, like this person's gone. You know, who was this towering sort of like, I don't know, person throughout my life? Not like on a regular basis, but someone who was like a fixture of my life. It was my neighbor. It was really, yeah. It was really sort of like unsettling. yeah, I don't even know why I'm talking about all this, but I guess just to talk about sort of the pause there between William Zabel and tonight's show with Kendall Carver. And so I've got like a rough sketch of the path ahead, and, you know, I'm hoping to roll on week to week for the next few weeks until sort of everything gets locked in and solidified. So I don't even want to put an end date yet on anything, but I would like to sort of, at the very least, wrap it all up sort of before we hit the year mark on this season, so or on the very day, which would be kind of nice and symbolic. But that would be sort of like your time frame. And so, with all that said, thank you to everyone who's been listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope I have a feeling maybe they were like first-time listeners, maybe tuning in tonight. And so I hope they come back for more. It's not really usually a show like this, but at the same time, this may be like the most, as I've said before, important shows that we could do. You know, listen to what Kendall had to say, folks. If you're going to go on one of these cruises, you know, listen to what he had to say and know what you're getting into. Trust me, know what you're getting into, because it's some really scary stuff. InternationalCruiseVictims.org. Until next time, this is Tim Bernal. Thank you for listening.